Run the air. Will you please take the call of order? We are now officially, this is the Joint Finance Administration Operations Strategic Planning Committee meeting, and will you please take the roll call?
Director Peterson?
Here.
Director Gonzalez?
Here.
Director Darcy?
Here.
I can do the strategic plan as well?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Director Weisner?
Here.
Director Towns?
Here.
Director Sweeney?
Here.
We have a call.
Thank you. Any public comment? No public comment. Okay.
I am here with the shield.
Sorry.
Just so the minutes reflect that I'm sitting between the chairs.
Item number four is approval of the minutes of the Finance Administration Committee meetings held on December 12th and January 16th of 2013, and executive session meetings held on December 12th and January 16th of 2013. I don't know if the committee has had a chance to review those. I did get a chance to review those this morning. I don't know if we are okay with that. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
And there was a recusal?
Yeah, I was absent, so.
Okay, in the case of the minutes for the Strategic Planning Committee meeting held on December 12th, 2012, we have minutes available, and you can seek approval of those minutes if you've had sufficient time to review. Are you okay with that?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, those minutes are approved.
Executive Director.
Great, thank you, Chair Peterson. Well, I'm pleased to make a short introduction and then turn it over immediately to Rocco to give a presentation on the Iliana. As you may recall, the Iliana Expressway is a major project that's being contemplated for the region. It's currently being led by the Illinois Department of Transportation and in partnership with the Indiana Department of Transportation. The IDOT, the Illinois Department of Transportation, has been authorized to take on this project with some new legislation in Illinois that provides the opportunity for a potential public-private partnership to build the Iliana, but as part of the process, the Illinois Tollway would be kind of the first step to, you know, take a look at the project and kind of do an evaluation to see if it's something that we would have the capacity to take on ourselves. We have been working closely with the Illinois Department of Transportation, as you would imagine, on this project and are excited for them and potentially the opportunity for this new public-private partnership model as well. But we have had a chance to do at least a preliminary evaluation, and I wanted Rocco to share with you kind of what our initial thoughts were, and we can make a decision today about how much additional work we do or not in evaluating the project as a potential tollway project. I think that recently IDOT identified a preferred option, which is the B3 corridor. There were several routes that were being proposed for the Iliana, so that was an exciting step forward, and really with the identification of that preferred route, you know, it allowed us to really look at the project and do at least, as I said, this initial evaluation. So the tollway is going to continue to support IDOT staff regardless in their work with Indiana to review the project, but IDOT is expected to communicate with its potential concessionaires if it is to move forward with the P3. So we wanted to have this conversation with the board today to talk about, you know, what we feel our initial take on the project is and what our findings have been. So, Rocco?
Sure. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll give you a brief update on this project and some of the things that we have done. Let's do an overview of the overall project, kind of refresh your memories on what the Iliana project is, some of the history very briefly. Corridor overview, the selected corridor and some of the features of the corridor and the status of the project and next steps / recommendations. So the Iliana Expressway study corridor, here's where it is. It's this big area. I said this before, this big area in yellow. Gotta give a lot of props to IDOT for managing this. The size of the study corridor, as I said about a year and a half or so ago, it's about the size of Rhode Island. It's an extensive area that was initially evaluated. Basically from I-65 in Indiana all the way to I-55 in in Illinois. So it is a bi-state project crossing state lines. There's a lot of features through there with intermodal and a lot of rail lines happening through there. But it's really in Will County and Kankakee County, as well as Lake County in Indiana. So that's the overall study area. The project has a long history dating back to the 1990s. Some things were done over time to really kind of move the project forward. Originally, there were some discussions about the South Suburban Airport that continue to go on right now. That spurred more of a need for some form of a new transportation corridor down there. In 2002, big intermodal facilities were developed in Joliet and Elwood to really draw more attention and commercial and freight traffic down into that area. There was a bi-state agreement to manage an environmental impact statement that is continuing right now, that was signed in 2006 between Indiana and Illinois. It was both between the Department of Transportation. Legislation was passed on both Indiana and Illinois side for different P3 arrangements for our opportunities for this project. Indiana did some studies on some feasibility work. And IDOT is continuing with their work with the environmental impact statement recently. At about the end of 2012, the Department of Transportation did select a preferred corridor identified as B3, which I will show you where that is right now. Within that study area, what IDOT looked at was, here's the study area again. They looked at three different viable corridors is what they selected. There was a northern alignment, a center alignment, and then a southern alignment that kind of blended back in. The selected and preferred corridor was B3, which is this middle alignment right there. Some of the details about this, and right now it's still a 2,000-foot corridor, so it's still at a very high level, but what IDOT's going to be doing moving this project forward, taking this 2,000-foot corridor and narrowing it down to about a 400-foot corridor. The overall length of the project and details, it's about 47 miles. It's about two-thirds in Illinois, and about one-third of the corridor is in Indiana, so it's about 12 miles in Indiana, and the remainder is in Illinois. It's what they're planning right now is a four-lane cross section, two lanes in each direction. Within that 400-foot corridor, there would be big interchanges at I-65, I-57 in Illinois, and I-55 in Illinois as well, with multiple local interchanges at the state routes throughout there. Traffic projections. Future traffic projections are, it's about 41,000 average daily traffic is what's projected. Obviously with the amount of freight that happens down in that area with rail and intermodal, you're looking at about 24,000 commercial vehicles using that corridor. And about 75% of those trips are all the long distance trips that would use the entire corridor. So it's about just a little less than 60% commercial vehicle traffic along the entire corridor. The project itself has a lot of intricate details to it, with not just the interchanges, but there are 28 waterway crossings, 8 railroad crossings. You're looking at another all-electronic, state-of-the-art type facility with some form of a paid-by-mailer system is what they've evaluated. There's 48 roadway crossings. As I said, we're continuing to coordinate with IDOT, as the director said, on the overall project. There was some P3 legislation that was introduced several years back to really give the tollway the ability to review the project and make some assessments on if we want to take the project on prior to going out to the P3 community. As we said, the Tier 1 environmental impact statement is now complete, and B3 was the preferred corridor. And the Tier 2 environmental impact statement, which takes it down to this 400-foot level, is ongoing. But they're also looking at the financial feasibility delivery options. Some of the challenges that we wanted to specifically call out that really kind of helped form our thinking are really associated with the bi-state challenges. Is how do you maintain, operate, construct, and build a roadway across two different states? You've got this big section of the roadway here in Indiana. You've got the Illinois side here. So those were some, right now we don't have any legal framework to allow this the bi-state to work, and so that really kind of drove some of the thinking. How do you really construct, build, operate, and maintain a roadway across two states? Because what happens on one side of the border has to happen on the other side of the border. The project is only good as itself as a whole. not the individual pieces. When you look at the traffic and revenue that would be associated with a project like this, it has to be built as a whole to generate that that amount of traffic. So that was definitely one of the challenges. One of the other challenges that we looked at was the physical separation. You're talking, it's about 15 miles physically separated from the tollway system right now. So that also you'd have to, you know, establish a new form of a maintenance and state police type system down there as well to that would have to get involved in the maintenance and operations of the facility. So some of the things, as like I said, as the director mentioned, some of the next steps, we're continuing to work with IDOT on this project, and they have been communicating with the potential concessionaires. They recently issued a request for proposals, or an RFP, for financial, legal, procurement, and project delivery options. I believe they're going to be doing some selection on that later this spring on a concessionaire to help them, or a consultant team to help them with that. They're also going to continue on with their evaluation of this Tier 2 environmental impact statement. Right now, we think our tollway's potential involvement in the project is going to be really limited at this point in time to operations and toll collection. So it's more on the back office. We've got a pretty sophisticated and mature back office system here that may help with overall operations of that facility. We've got the customer service center and whatnot. So things that we can continue to have discussions with IDOT and their teams about. So overall, what are our recommendations to allow IDOT to proceed with a P3 process for delivery, and we'll continue to assist IDOT.
So, do you know on this first point, is it that they're communicating with with concessionaires to design how you would work and design a P3, or are they actually, have they already done that part and now they're reaching out to people who might want to participate as partners in the P3?
This is not about partners in the P3. The first step that they want to do is they want to bring in a consultant firm to help them really look and understand more about the financial aspects, how you would set up some of these legal frameworks, as you know, as I talked about, the project delivery options as a P3. How would you do that? How would you procure contracts within the realm of, you know, again, with the bi-state challenges, you didn't have Indiana procurement dealings, and you're also going to have Illinois, so how do you blend all that together? So it's really having somebody come in from that perspective, which is not very unique, I mean, not very typical of an engineering type of a contract. Mm-hmm. So it's a P3 concessionaire to look at the, not a P3 concessionaire, a P3 team to look at that financial, legal, procurement, delivery options for such a project. Can it be built in pieces, so really kind of looking at that next level. The next step that IDOT would pursue after this would be then going out to to the concessionaires themselves, those who would actually be the implementers, operators of such a facility. That will happen likely later this year as well, so it's good that they're getting themselves formed to start thinking about where that might be.
And during that process, we would expect, I think they would expect that the concessionaires would come back with proposals, mm-hmm. right? And I think our recommendation would be that we should remain open to maybe being an operating partner, which we can continue to talk to the board about if the opportunity arises. But, you know, at this point, you know, allowing the public-private partnership process to work its way through and see what the private sector, you know, can bring on this.
So that's pretty much it. If there's any other questions, thoughts? Thank you.
I'd be curious what board members think about this. I guess the option would be for us to jump in and be more involved. I think the staff recommendation makes sense to see how the P3 mm-hmm. process plays out and what appetite there is for making the public-private connection, but I'm curious about other directors.
I think it's definitely a necessary roadway in that sector of our state. I live down there, and I know what the truck traffic does to that size of Rhode Island down there. It's terrible that Route 80 is just this truck route, mm-hmm. and the residents that pay for the road, they're always fighting trucks to go where they want to go. So this would put them in a better spot. You know, not knowing the financials of this, I don't see how it could be bonded. We have no idea how this thing would play out if the tollways were to do this road by themselves. I think the P3 makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of money in this country right now that would invest in this and take the returns that it would bring them. And we operate tollways, so I could see where this P3 makes a lot of sense in the long run. As far as the Indiana Department of Transportation, Illinois playing together, I'm not sure how that's going to play out. But, you know, we all need this, so it just makes sense. And if it's done in increments of tenth of a mile, we know how many tenths of a mile we have and how many they have. And it could be done, but it sure does look like something that we need to continue to pursue, and hopefully this thing will come into play someday.
I concur. I mean, we need to continue to monitor. I think we have quite a bit on our plate right now with the Move Illinois program. I think that, you know, basically looking at this project would, on top of everything else we have internally, that falls on staff and everybody, there's quite a bit of demand right now. It just seems like maybe it's kind of a wait and see approach and see how the B3 study completes.
Looks like we've got some direction. Thanks, Rocco. We'll see you again shortly.
Shortly.
You're the one who makes those jokes. I do not think so. So, equally important and interesting will be the next presentation, which is the quarterly financial review. As you know, we always give a quarterly update on how the tollway is doing in its financials. So Mike Kelsch is here today to spread the good news, I guess. We are so bold as to...
Thank you, Christy. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
For this quarterly financial report, we are doing things a little bit different in that we're presenting to you today some preliminary information before we've had an opportunity to complete the entire report. We don't have the report in front of you today. We closed the fourth quarter, the books for the fourth quarter, on a preliminary basis on Friday, but we thought it was important to get some early information to the board to see where we stand. And generally, you'll see that we have ended 2012 in a good position financially. With respect to toll revenue totaled $922 million, which was on target with the estimate that we made in October, or the CDM Smith actually made in October when we prepared the 2013 budget. This is important because the comparisons we're doing from this point forward will look at what our latest revision was, because that's the revision that we utilized not only in calculating where we would end 2012, but in planning for 2013. Passenger car transactions declined a little over 4% from 2011, but commercial vehicle transactions grew 2.8% during 2011. This wasn't a surprise, shouldn't be a surprise to us. The toll rate increase put into effect in January 1 of 2012 came with it an expectation that passenger vehicle traffic would actually decline 5.9%. We've done better than that during 2012. Commercial vehicle traffic at the time was expected to grow about 2.2%, and it's grown 2.8%. With respect to evasion recovery, this is another area where we had a change during the year. If you recall from previous reports, we have a new auditor. The new auditor asked us to make some changes with respect to the way in which we account for evasion recovery. We then reduced our evasion recovery we had to take an $12 million offset to evasion recovery this year to make that accounting change. But relative to the October estimate, after we had made that change, we actually ended up ahead of what our projection was in October, about $4 million or 16%. The maintenance and operating budget was on budget, very, very close for the fourth quarter. I think in total it was about $70,000 more than what we had budgeted in the fourth quarter. But through the third quarter, we had a positive variance of $14.3 million. So we ended the year at $14.2 million under budget in 2012. And the capital program, relative to the revised estimate, was about $48.1 million below what we had estimated at the time, net of some intergovernmental reimbursements. We had received an additional $1.7 million of reimbursements through intergovernmental agreements that we hadn't put in the plan. We have agreements and contracts with them, but as we take a conservative posture on these, we don't plan for them until they're received.
Is this October? Is this October, November, December?
This is the fourth quarter compared to what we estimated. This is the entire year, actually, the entire fiscal year relative to what we estimated the fiscal year would be in October. Sorry. So, just a reminder, we did make a revenue estimate in October that reflected that $12 million change in accounting treatment for evasion recovery. We also lowered at the time concession revenue and miscellaneous income by $1 million. So our original projection at the start of the year was $973 million. We revised that down to $960 million in October, but by and large it was a result of making that accounting change. Revenues by category, as I mentioned, toll revenue and evasion recovery then in total, about a $4 million positive variance relative to our estimate. And again, that's entirely evasion recovery, positive results in evasion recovery. Concessions, investment income, and miscellaneous, all relatively small variances. Of course, they make up a very small portion of our overall revenue. Toll revenue and evasion recovery make up the vast majority of the revenue that Tollway receives. So a total of about $3.75 million positive variance in revenue relative to what we have in our financial plan. With respect to the operating budget, these variances are in many circumstances very close to the variances that we had discussed through the third quarter. As I mentioned earlier, the fourth quarter was very close to what we had planned. Payroll and related costs, we spent $6 million less than what was budgeted as a result of having more positions vacant than what we had planned throughout the year. Contractual services was about $3.6 million less than budgeted at the start of the year, and this is really due to lower, less of an increase in customer service costs than related to IPASS and our violation enforcement system than we had planned at the start of the year. Remember, I think at the very beginning of the year we thought those costs might increase because the toll rate had gone into effect. We realized that there may be more people seeking IPASS and potentially more violators. Those costs were not as great as what we had anticipated, both in terms of customer call minutes, credit card fees, payments for hearing officers. With respect to materials and operating supplies, positive variance of $3.1 million and largely the result of having a couple of mild winters. Last year, we went into the year with a large stock of materials relative to prior years, and then this year, the early winter was relatively mild, so we spent less on winter materials as well as some other operational supplies. All other insurance was less than what we budgeted for the year because earlier in the year, the actuary indicated that we had more in reserve for workers' comp than what was required based upon their actuarial review of our program, our self-funded workers' compensation insurance program. So we were able to reduce those payments into the workers' compensation self-insurance fund. With respect to equipment office rental, the maintenance on our electronic tolling equipment was less than we had planned as well. So a total of $14.2 million under budget for 2012 operating. With respect to the capital program, and here's where we've been working with the PMO to try to get some additional detail and answers that we may have for you next week as well regarding some of the variances in the capital program relative to what we estimated in October. As you can see, the total capital program subtotal, $46.3 million under budget, $42.2 million less spending in the Move Illinois and CRP program, and $4 million for other capital projects. And then we received $1.76 million in intergovernmental reimbursements that we hadn't included in our estimate previously.
So this, just as a reminder, the October estimate had already taken into account some of the projects that we ultimately had to, you know, forego, frankly, in this past year because of the procurement delays and challenges that we were facing in the procurement process. So these, you know, this lesser spending, some portion of which is actual savings, and then, you know, schedule changes or scope changes, and we, as Mike said, I think still have to get to the bottom of that and should have more detail on the, on how those break out next week. But this, you know, baseline revised estimate had already taken into account the lower level of spending that we were projecting. So this is even just a little bit lower than we had anticipated.
So our preliminary analysis and hope shows that we had estimated $400,399.6 for the year. In October, actual expenditures $351.5, $48 million variance. The way that we believe that breaks down, about $26 million related to scheduling changes, about $15 million in actual real project cost savings, and then some scope changes and other miscellaneous adjustments that net out to about $600,000. So primarily it's project cost savings and scheduling changes, and it appears to us that about $15 million of that $42 million is real project cost savings, but we will do additional review with the PMO this week. We have a breakdown by corridor, $15 million. More in spending actually on the Jane Addams Memorial due to acceleration of some of the advance work. So it's a good thing to get I-90 started. Tri-State schedule and project savings, about $24 million less. Some of this due to the fact we haven't acquired as much right-of-way as we had anticipated for 294-57 interchange. Elgin O'Hare, with respect to, I believe there's some procurement delays related to some of the design contracts, so we haven't been able to complete some of the design on the Elgin O'Hare as quickly as we had anticipated. A total impact of about $11.5 million related to that. And then we had some bid savings on the Annie Glidden Deer Path project on the Reagan Memorial, which saved about $7 million. So that completes my presentation. We have some additional information in the appendix if you're interested in other comparisons, but if there are any questions.
So total revenue projections were right on 41%, 41.3 from
yes.
2011 to 2012 were right on.
They were, yes.
And yeah. The actual decrease was less than we anticipated. We anticipated 5.9 and it was 4.9. Yeah.
Right. In October, we had anticipated doing, you know, we had made a minor adjustment in October, slightly increased toll revenue, because we saw that the trend was favorable. But the transactions relative to the projection that was made when we put the program together, transactions performed better during this year, car transactions.
And Mike,
Did we think that we would do more in debt service in 2012? That I see that we were $13 million less than what we projected in debt service. Is that because we're putting off most of this refunding to 2013? Or
that was because we had planned, mostly because we had planned to do a small bond issue, small, $200 million.
In 2012,
that we, because of the some of the scheduling delays, some of the procurement delays, wasn't necessary to do in 2012. So we waited till this year.
And I would just add, as important as the revenue projections was the spending control. We congratulate everybody on that. And really, you know, what you came in at was remarkably close, but under budget. That's great.
Thank you.
I think one of the appendices talks about the capital original projections versus actual. Talk a little bit about how you see this playing out over the next 12 months. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, we are trying to, you know, get out in front of our this year's capital program. You know, yet last year was really the first year of the Blue Bill and Light program, and we ramped up pretty quickly, and you know, as also with all of the changes, frankly, at the state level and the many additional steps that were added to the procurement and approval process, you know, found ourselves in the position of it just didn't make sense to move forward with some of those projects given a limited construction season that's available to us here. So this year, I'm confident that we're going to stay a little bit certainly closer, and our goal is to make sure that we can, you know, drive the program and the spending that we've anticipated this year. At this point, Paul, we wouldn't say that we don't see any necessarily project delays. We think we're going to be able to stay on track schedule-wise. It's just, you know, we would have liked to maybe done a little bit more last year than we did.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, no major work item that was scheduled for 2012 didn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did the tri-state, we took care of I-88, we finished up the tri-level bridge. You know, we did all the major things. And we also, thankfully, we got in place some of these larger foundational contracts, and some of the key I-90 design contracts are now in place. So they are working very hard to get, you know, the next set of plans out. And we don't foresee there being any big delays headed our way on 90 or even on the Elgin O'Hare. I mean, we're even on 294-57. We do have a lot of challenges, especially on the right-of-way side, you know, which is slowing up some of our work and making it more difficult to implement some of our projects, but we're working through them, and it's too early. I don't see anything that's overly concerning at this point. We consistently get good bids. We're still seeing that, so obviously the contracting community is still very interested in trying to ramp up also. I don't know how long that will continue, but it definitely was the case in 2012.
But I'm just thinking that, you know, when we went out to our public hearings, we had that chart that showed the timeline for the projects, and basically what you're saying is that is going to remain intact.
Yes.
Assuming that things continue. So what we said we were going to do is likely to happen at the times that we said we were going to do.
Yes.
Even though this year we didn't get out quite as much through the procurement process.
That's correct. We did have delays.
Good.
Are we having any delays in the procurement process with the last round of contracts?
Yeah, so it just takes a lot of time.
We haven't heard anything where they've got to go back and correct anything.
Well, I mean, we always do. I mean, it's always a process, and it does seem, frankly, like sometimes, you know, the forms that are submitted that are acceptable in one situation, you know, something may be caught another time that needs to be changed. So, you know, we're working also with the CPO's office and the Procurement Policy Board to, you know, strive for consistency. I think one thing that could help that the CPO, and again, the CPO is the outside oversight entity that is responsible for approving all of our procurements. He and his team have put together you know, this concept of creating, what do they call it, the disclosure portal or the kind of vendor portal that would basically house, you know, vendor documents so that, for instance, you could, you know, have your disclosure forms or all of the information that you'd have to submit as part of the procurement process, you know, in a portal and update as needed. But once it's approved, you know, there would be a record of that and it would be easier to track. You wouldn't necessarily have to have, you know, now vendors have to sometimes submit the exact same disclosure documents and it has to go through the same process, and it's not necessarily, it may be expedited a little bit if it's been reviewed and approved before, but not much. So this would make that this would make that easier. I do think that they need an appropriation from the General Assembly in order to actually build the portal. I don't know that it would necessarily be that costly. It would certainly save a lot of time, money, and effort on all of our sides, and we've been you know, working with them closely and are happy to support that effort, because I do think it would make life a lot easier for us, but also for the vendor community.